gonna take a lot of love to change the way things are. It's gonna take a lot of love.
Kia ora, and welcome to the Caravan of Hope with me, Brent Caldwell.
And me, COVID O'Matic.
Promoting peace, safety, and well-being for every human on Earth. We're coming to you from Otipoti, Dunedin, in the South Island of Aotearoa, New Zealand. And today is Wednesday, the 27th of March, and it's a very autumnal day, COVID.
It is. It's a cold wind blowing.
Yes, I think summer has finally decided it's time to go north, and winter is coming back to visit us. But
I did hear it's 28 degrees actually up in Hastings.
Oh, Lord. Right. So this week we are just going to chat about a few quick things. So our show may not be that long. We'll have a bit of a yarn about the Peter Blake Foundation, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary. We'll have a bit of a discussion about the latest goings on at the United Nations, in particular the resolution that's just been passed. And maybe touch on the Ukraine as well. And COVID, are you going to kind of just preview one of our guests who will be joining us on the 17th of April?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Blake Foundation, tell me a wee bit about that.
Well, the Blake Foundation was founded, as you may remember. Sir Peter Blake was a famous New Zealander who originally became famous because he was a very good sailor and I think was the skipper or the something when the New Zealand won the America's Cup, I think, for the first time.
Yeah, in 1995, he was kind of like the CEO of the challenge.
CEO, yeah. So anyhow, but in
2001.
He was on an expedition into the Amazon after doing that, the sailing, racing. He then decided he wanted to help the environment, so led various expeditions to the Antarctic, and the last one was the Amazon, where unfortunately he got killed by somebody, we don't know who exactly why, but...
Yeah, it was pirates.
They say it was pirates, yes.
Mm. Yeah, so that was a real loss for a very big New Zealander, famous for his whitbread round the world yacht races, the America's Cup, leading the challenge, the designing and all those things. And as you say, and I guess it led to his environmentalism, and because he was aware of the state of the oceans and the declining state of the environment. So following his death, the Blake Foundation was established.
The Blake Foundation was set up apparently with backing from Helen Clark.
Mm.
Who was the Prime Minister at the time, I think.
Yeah.
And just last night, his widow, Pippa Blake, Lady Pippa Blake, was talking about it, and it's an astounding figure. I think they said that more than 108,000 students in New Zealand have gone through one of their programs. And their programs tend to be their kind of mixture of their sailing and environmentalism. So they tend to be outdoors in the field, either in New Zealand or I think they do take people to Antarctica, I'm not sure, and on sailing boats. And so I don't know, it feels like a really amazing thing we never hear about, which, you know, gives hope for the future that we have. I mean, 108,000. Pupils. I don't know how many pupils there would have been in the last 20 years.
Yeah, and there's like something like 640 schools that have been involved through the association.
Yeah.
So I guess the silver lining to this is, and I guess that's probably why you're raising it, is that while we often focus on what's going not so well with the human race, it's great to know that there is a lot of unsung heroes out there who are doing their best to leave the planet in a better shape than they found it for the future generations. And we can only hope that that becomes its own kind of pandemic and that it catches on very quickly. Keep your fingers crossed.
Well, I think, you know, I think it is really important because a lot of young people are really depressed and despairing about the state of the world, particularly the climate, what's happening with climate change, which, you know, is just so apparent everywhere. So, you know, hopefully there's a, of these 108,000 children, there's going to be some who are going to remain active. I mean, probably they're all going to remain active in some way, but who will be very active in, you know, really bringing the environment into account.
And I guess, you know, we need to be thankful for small degrees of change. And with that, we talked about the fact that yesterday there was the UN resolution was finally passed condemning the, or was it
Calling
asked?
for a ceasefire.
Yeah.
Calling for a ceasefire, and I'm not sure what number it is. Maybe it might be five or six or something.
Yeah.
And you may remember that last week, I think we said there was one put forward by the United States, but vetoed by China and Russia because it didn't have enough of a ceasefire in it, I think.
Yeah.
So anyhow, this one passed. America actually abstained, which actually is a huge move from even a month ago, where they were still totally behind Israel, what Israel was doing, supplying it with arms, you know, and blocking, vetoing, as they say, any effort to have peace or humanitarian aid get in.
So I guess if we, I'm no international politician, and it might be worth having a chat to Robert Patman about this. I did hear him speaking on the radio yesterday about other things, and it did remind me that he could be a good person for us to tap into. But if you think about the fact that the sort of the patron of the Israeli state is now getting a wee bit grumpy. While it doesn't sound big on the surface, it may have ramifications which could possibly change the course of the action, or it could preempt the situation in Rafah, or it could, I don't know, take it down a different path than where it was headed.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as I know, America is still supplying arms to Israel. But I think if it, you know, unfortunately, the United Nations, as many people said, doesn't have much teeth. It does have the possibility that it could send in peacekeeping troops. And I think if, you know, if Netanyahu and his government don't actually do something, the opinion in America is so strongly for a ceasefire now. I think, I don't know, maybe it's 70% of the people actually would want a ceasefire. And it's a fairly high number amongst Republicans too. So, you know, Joe Biden trying to save his own political face, but at least he's doing, starting to do the right thing.
Yes, well, let's not go into American politics. That's a whole other story. So
Yes.
yeah, there's been a resolution. The US abstained, but more importantly, they didn't veto it. Neither did the other permanent members. So I guess what we can say is that there's been a small step taken.
Well, I think it's actually a huge step, but in terms of what will happen, I'm not sure. But that one then means, then if Israel is still refusing to do it, then it's actually going against, as you say, its patron, who will probably start to put more pressure on. You know, it'd be nice if it's today, but that something like that will happen, I think. Well, I'm hoping.
And of course, we're into the third year of the war in Ukraine. And one of our guests coming up in the next couple of weeks is someone who is linked to the current conflict there. Do you
Yeah.
want to tell us a wee bit about Olga?
Olga, well, Olga is a Ukrainian woman who emigrated to, I haven't met her personally, but she emigrated to New Zealand a few years ago. Not exactly sure when, maybe about 6 or 7 years ago. And I think it was in Auckland. She came with her family. And has been very involved. I think she did a degree up in Auckland, and was very involved with volunteer work and within the university, and moved down to Otago. So she has family still in the Ukraine and is one of the main people in Donin for the Ukrainians, who meet, I believe, every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock.
Yep, still going after
Still going
over 2 years
two
now.
years, and there are some other people there, including Peter Matheson, who we had before. I think he and his wife Heinke go every week and support them. And sort of as we said, you know, the where the media goes, the attention goes, the media's gone on to Gaza, which is you know, it does need the attention because it's horrendous, but also we forget about the horrendous things that happened in or have been are still happening in Ukraine.
And in Russia, you know, because recently there's been a an attack on
Cinema, yeah.
on a concert venue or a cinema, and ISIL have taken responsibility for it.
ISIL from Afghanistan,
Yeah,
yes.
ISIL-K or whatever it's called, and you were saying that it's still being treated as if it might have been connected to the Ukrainians.
Well, the Russian response is, even though ISIL have claimed responsibility, the Russian response is, oh, this has come from Ukraine. So they've intensified bombing and drone attacks and everything, I think, on Kiev and other places.
Yeah, nothing quite like being able to draw, you know, draw in other things to use as fodder for propaganda. And I guess that's the kind of the world we live in now, fake news and you know, like we know from, you know, the American election, we know from the election in Britain that, you know, these are just spin is powerful. And whoever controls the media is controlling the message. So,
And yes, and I was talking to somebody who has a Russian friend and said that they still watch the Russian news, and for them, when Ukraine was invaded by Russia, they were totally behind it because they believe that Ukraine is going to take over by Nazis, and so Russia is going in to help the Ukrainians, you know, which is. That's one way of seeing it.
And of course, you know, using the Nazis as a reason for the invasion would strike a chord with many Russians who suffered, whose parents, whose grandparents suffered during World War II at the hands of the Nazis. It's a nice, easy go-to. Yeah. Grim times indeed here on planet Earth. So we'll be having a chat to Olga in a couple of weeks, and we're teeing up a few other people to have a bit of a yarn with.
We're going to have a chap called Kevin Clements, I think in 2 weeks' time, who's been very involved with peace studies, peace movement, and that should be very interesting. And then Olga will be coming on the 17th, I think it is.
And I guess if there's anyone out there that any of our listeners or watchers think that we should have a bit of a chat to, or you can put us in touch with some people, that would be great. I'm dearly trying to get hold of Gwyn Dyer, the journalist who has a column in the Otago Daily Times, who's a freelancer based in the UK, I think. And we'd love to get in touch with a number of people. But if you've got any suggestions, just send us an email here at caravanofhope@gmail.com. Caravanofhope2023@gmail.com. Or if you know us personally, contact us that way, either through our Facebook page, which is called the Caravan of Hope Podcast. You can get hold of us there.
And I have written an email to the Helen Clark organisation. Not
Okay.
yet heard back. She would be an interesting person because of her actual involvement in the UN as one of the as the leader of
And she's part of the United Nations, or was
She
she?
was, yeah, she was leader of one of the departments. I'm trying to remember which one it was.
Okay, well, a very brief episode for you today, but we've got lots of things in the work, and as I say,
Oh, I did go on the rally last week. We had another rally. smaller than before because many of the Palestinians or other communities associated with them are fasting because it's Ramadan.
Yes, of course.
So it's a lot for them. There's still about 150 people, I would say. So, yeah, it's still there. And so it's important for us, I think, to keep supporting people wherever they are. If you have a friend who's Ukrainian, if you have a friend who's from Palestine, if you have a friend from Syria, you know, one of the reasons why ISIL said that it attacked the Russian cinema was because of what Russia had done in Syria, where they had backed the President Assad's regime and were responsible for kind of starting that carpet bombing thing where they just destroyed city after city.
Yeah, so from a general point of view, they're sort of saying it's retaliation for oppression of Muslims across the Muslim world and across the planet. So it's not, and again, I always think of Robert Patman because he's kind of opened our eyes to the fact that political borders are just lines on a map now.
Yeah.
A lot of our problems absolutely extend over those. So lots to talk about, lots to learn about, and we hope with the Easter period coming up that your family enjoys the opportunity to reflect. If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, you'll be thinking about the springtime and new life coming along. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, we'll be getting ready for winter, and Easter's a good time for us to take stock about how things have been in the summer and get ready to hunker down for the winter. If for those who are still in the Ramadan period, you'll be looking forward to the end of that, the Eid ceremony, I think it is.
It's Eid, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. And let me tell you, Ruler Yusuf makes the best biscuits because they would always come and share them with us at school. So, anyway.
So keep talking about what's happening in Gaza. Keep talking about what's happening in Ukraine.
Yeah.
In Sudan.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever other place that you feel something isn't right, whether it's with what's happening with the ivory poaching and killing elephants in Australia, or whether it's the pollution in our planet. If there's something that you think that doesn't seem right, it shouldn't be like that. It's actually got to be you and me and other people who take the action. And we can see actually from this recent thing. I mean, the one good thing to come out of the Gaza thing is that the crisis is that people around the world have actually got off their backsides and said, this is wrong. You know, and that's probably, and it has changed, you know, it's changed the United States, the leader, from being totally pro-Israel to actually having to change his mind, which is a huge shift because for 75 years or maybe longer, America has been backing Israel in whatever it does, you know, and so this is probably the first time, and that is entirely due to people going out, writing letters, demonstrating, and particularly, I think, probably in the States, a lot of Jewish people who are saying, look, this is wrong, and you don't do it in my name, because often the thing has been, we're doing it because we have a Jewish population in America, and, you know.
So I think the underlying theme is let's keep our eyes on what's happening. But don't forget that even one person can make a difference. And at the start of the show, we talked about Peter Blake. That is one man who, because of his actions and because of his example, 104,000 New Zealanders are now joining that movement to save the planet. Never underestimate what one person can do, because when a lot of ones get together, it becomes people power. So,
And you know the story of the starfish?
Yeah, I love that story.
Do you want to tell the story? You're probably a better story.
The story goes that a person was walking along a beach and there was a very low tide and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of starfish left out above the other water line that were going to die. And this person spotted a small child picking up starfish and throwing them into the water. And when looking at the beach with the thousands and thousands of starfish across the beach, the adult spoke to the child and said, "Well, look, you know, there's no way that you can save all the starfish. There's, you know, and the problem is overwhelming, and there's no way you can make a difference." And the child picks up one starfish and throws it into the water and says, "Yes, but I made a difference to that starfish." And I think that's I used to share that with kids all the time, because I think it's important to make that link between one simple action. It's like a pebble in a pool. You never know where the ripple effect is going to take it.
That's right.
Anyway, that's all from us this week. So from me, Brent Caldwell.
And from me, COVID O-matic.
May you be well. May you be happy. May you live with ease.
And may all beings live in peace.
Take a lot of